Be happy in every life. We have some trouble, but when you worry, you make it double. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy now.
Hello, this is Gail Moskowitz, and I thank you for listening to Mental Health Matters. I hope you all had a wonderful 4th of July and you are enjoying a day off from work. I personally love July 4th. It's the kind of holiday that makes for wonderful summer memories. Personally, I also just love birthdays, so celebrating the birthday of the United States that includes fireworks is just perfect for me. So on today's show, we are going to discuss bipolar disorder. As you know, Mental Health Matters is a program dedicated to issues pertaining to mental health, interpersonal relations, addiction, sex and sexuality, and discussing healthy ways in which to live a more thoughtful and emotionally honest and fulfilling life. Generally, on every show, I'll highlight an issue and discuss it and ask you, the audience, to call and ask questions if you have or weigh in on the subject. But today, it's kind of a serious subject, and I have a guest with me who is living and thriving with bipolar disorder. And so just so we can do one thing at a time, we're going to talk about it today, and on another program we'll allow questions. Mental Health Matters, as you know, comes to you every Monday at 1 p.m. on WRIR 97.3 FM on your dial, and you can also listen to the program in real time by logging on to WRIR's website, www.wrir.org. The show will be available for you to listen to by this evening, along with all the past shows, by logging on to my website, which is mentalhealthmatters.web.officelive.com. Also, I'm happy to send you a link to my site if you email me at yourmentalhealthmatters@gmail.com. Those are the letters mentalhealthmatters, all one word, @gmail.com. Feel free to send me your comments, questions, or suggestions for a future show. If you log on to WRIR's website and you go to where my program is, you can actually link right through to my website, which is new on WRIR, and I'm just thrilled about the wonderful new website. So, as I said, today's topic is living and thriving with bipolar disorder. I would like to introduce my guest, who is a married mother of three. She's a successful nurse and an individual who intimately understands the topic of bipolar disorder. Her name is Leah, and we welcome her to Mental Health Matters. Thank you for being here.
I'm so happy to be here. Thank you, Gail.
I really am thankful that you've joined us today. And before we get to the interview, if you wouldn't mind, I would just like to give people a small overview of what bipolar disorder is. So much is written in popular literature about bipolar disorder that I think people have some notion of it as being something romantic or something they're misguided. Plus, people say things about bipolar disorder like, oh, she's bipolar, just because somebody has a lot of ups and downs. And
I prefer to call it a mood disorder.
And it is important that people understand that it is a mood disorder. So just very briefly, bipolar disorder, which is also known as manic depressive illness, is a brain disorder that causes unusual shifts in mood, energy, activity levels, and the ability to carry out day-to-day tasks. Symptoms of bipolar disorder can really be severe, but they also, for some people, are a little more moderate. They are different from normal ups and downs that everybody has normal ups and downs, different than normal ups and downs that everyone goes through from time to time, bipolar disorder symptoms can result in damaged relationships, poor job or school performance, and even suicide. But bipolar disorder can be treated, and that's the important thing. I want people to take away from the show today. And people with this illness can lead full and productive lives. Bipolar disorder often develops in a person's life late in their teens or early in adult years. And at least half of all people who suffer from bipolar disorder pretty much start having these symptoms before 25. Some people have their first symptoms during childhood. While others may develop the symptoms later in life, it's generally not that way, though. Bipolar disorder is not easy to spot. The symptoms may seem like separate problems, not recognized as part of a larger picture, and I think that's an important point. And some people suffer for years before they are properly diagnosed and treated. Like diabetes or heart disease, bipolar disorder is a long-term illness and must be managed, but can be managed throughout a person's life. So that's a pretty good overview, and I don't want to belabor the specifics and of the diagnosis, and I want to talk to you a little bit about how this has been manifested in your life. So how many years has it been for you that you have known that you had bipolar disorder?
Since an official diagnosis.
Since an official diagnosis.
I'm about 10 years, maybe.
So before you had an official diagnosis, so how many years had it been before you knew you had a problem and finally had some words to describe what was going on?
Well, I certainly knew that I was having issues, especially with depression, in my teens.
So tell me about your first symptoms. What did you notice?
Well, looking back, I guess I would say that I was just
moody.
A free spirit, and definitely moody. I mean, rage. You know, when I would get mad, I would get rageful and throw things and.
Sort of impulsive.
Oh, very much so.
Moody and impulsive, mm-hmm. But yet you would consider yourself a free spirit.
Yes.
And when did you notice
that? Or rebellious.
Yes. So did you also, you would have been considered rebellious?
Yes.
And did you consider yourself depressed?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
All right. And how depressed were you?
Well, there were many times I would stand in the mirror, right in front of the mirror, and write out my suicide note and have a knife in hand, but I didn't want to die.
Mm-hmm.
I did, but I really didn't want to, like, permanently leave.
You wanted to just take the pain away.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So were you diagnosed with depression or not even that?
No, I wasn't diagnosed with that until after I graduated high school.
Okay. So can you speak a little bit more about the progression of the disease? So you graduated from high school and...
Barely
graduated from high school, and you're a very bright person, so it makes no sense that you only barely graduated
right.
from high school. Because you have perfectly good academic gifts.
Right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. So you got through high school, and then what did you see? What happened? What did it look like then?
Well, like I said, I barely made it through high school because there was the drugs and the drinking, and that totally consumed me.
You know, I think it's important to tell our listeners that individuals who suffer from bipolar disorder have an exorbitant predisposition for using drugs and alcohol, mm-hmm. and that is because they are medicating themselves
mm-hmm. exactly.
to try to feel or to think that they may look as normal as anybody else. So if you're a kid who's using drugs and alcohol, how does somebody distinguish between you have bipolar disorder and you're not just some rotten kid who's using drugs and alcohol? And that's, so while you knew you had problems, you wouldn't have been able to pinpoint what that was.
Oh, right, no. But to throw another thing into it, you have ADD.
You have ADD.
Yeah, I do. But I mean, you, in like in general, I mean, if you throw that into the picture too, because ADD and bipolar look so similar. So in both of them, it's so easy to be dependent on a drug or, you know, or alcohol, which is a drug, basically.
To bring you down.
To, bring you down or take away the pain or, you know.
Or in your case, take away the anxiety.
The anxiety, oh yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and that's probably something that a lot of people with bipolar disorder do, is they treat themselves with drugs and alcohol to take away the anxiety of social functioning.
Yes.
Yes, absolutely. So you really didn't know what was going on. You were doing a lot of partying, maybe every day.
I was probably drinking, I want to say like a case of beer a day. I mean, it was really horrible.
It's amazing. Then what happened?
Then I was in a really bad car accident.
Okay.
And I decided to straighten myself out.
And when you got into that car accident, it was a wake-up call?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So what happened? What did you do to straighten yourself out?
I went into treatment in the the psychiatric institute, Richmond.
Oh yes, I remember that. Yes, that was a great place.
It was a great place. I think I was there for at least 2 months. I mean, it was a really long time. They had this great obstacle course, and it did. It totally turned me around.
You got help.
I got help.
You could talk about what was going on inside.
I was put on an antidepressant because at that time I was in a really bad depressive state, considering that alcohol, you know, makes you depressed and it's already there. Not a good combination.
Not a good combination. So they put you on an antidepressant, and that was the first medical intervention for your psychiatric problem.
Yes.
And it really did help. It gave you a better, more stable mood. Then what happened?
It gave me a stable mood. It also made me very happy.
Right, and that's the other side of bipolar disorder, which is I'm no longer depressed, but hey, I'm manic now.
That's right.
Right, so what did those manic symptoms look like?
Well, I decided I didn't need my antidepressant anymore because I was happy now. I was fixed. I was cured.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I pretty much did remain stable.
What stabilized you? Meeting your husband?
Could be, but I was stable before I met him. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was very vulnerable. I was stably unstable.
Okay.
And then yes, I met my husband, and settled. We got married, and I became part of the Jewish community, and which was extremely structured, converted to Orthodox Judaism. Very, very, very structured. And I really needed that. I didn't realize I needed that. Something in me knew I needed that, but I wasn't conscious.
Well, let me just say for people who don't know that if you begin to take on the tenets of Jewish observance, that those laws can tell you how to
everything,
how to dress, how to eat,
every single thing.
Uh-huh. And what you're saying is that you grew up with this kind of internal dysfunction, not to mention
and
the
external
dysfunction,
right?
But yes, but this internal dysfunction, and you were drinking and drugging to sort of solve the problem. Then you have this terrible car accident, you get some help psychiatrically, which was great, and that began to pull you together. Then you meet this man and move into this very structured lifestyle, and on some level, that was the infrastructure that gave you what to focus on every single day.
Yes.
And that was really helpful.
Oh,
and
yes.
Loving. It was a kind environment.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So, okay.
All right, then what happened?
A very nurturing environment. Very nurturing. The whole community was like my family.
Yes, yes.
So then yes. I never really had.
That you never mm-hmm. really had, yes. Mm-hmm. So in a way, it was the perfect environment, but you wanted to start growing, and perhaps you had to kind of then get out of that environment in order to start growing.
Exactly, yes.
Well, tell me.
I needed to, like, put mortar between the bricks, you know.
Yes, I do know. I know mm-hmm. exactly what you're saying. So what happened? You got some, you began to get some better understanding of what was going on with you internally.
A doctor well, therapy. Helped.
Therapy. Mm-hmm.
Therapy. And we had our son, like, within, right after our first anniversary. And I think things got a little unstable for me. But I still wasn't, nobody said anything about bipolar disorder. It was still the depression, the anxiety, the moodiness. But I went through a lot of antidepressants, you know, because they're all so individualized. Everybody is so, you know, sensitive. And, you know, you have to find just the right one for you. And Prozac has been the only one that's been good for me. So it was the antidepressant, but then I was also diagnosed with ADD.
Mm-hmm.
And
so you started taking some medication
for
that
as well.
I
started taking stimulants yes. for that.
So what happens for you? So you're on these medications, you're on the antidepressant, you're taking something that allows you to focus better, and you're having intermittent flights into mania.
Mild, I would
mildly.
Say. Oh, yeah, very
mildly.
Mild.
So did they do something to treat that? Did the doctors do something to treat
oh,
that?
Oh, no, it wasn't recognized until it wasn't so mild anymore.
I see. Okay. And was that when you finally got the diagnosis, when it wasn't
yes.
mild anymore? And then the medications they began to cobble together for you were more specific for people who struggle with bipolar disorder?
Well, yes. However, the medications that I was on, the stimulant and the antidepressant, which was an SSRI, which is Prozac, which has a history of inducing mania in people who have bipolar disorder.
Were you able
and then
to,
the stimulant on mm-hmm. top of that, and the whole my environment being unstable at the time with, you know, things at work and other issues, it was all a bad combination. So the doctor that I was seeing that actually made that bipolar diagnosis, he was going to keep me on those same medications. So I went to a different doctor,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I knew, I mean, I read about it. You have to read about it. You have to understand what's going on. I think that is a key in maintaining your mental health, is learning about it, learning as much as you can about it. So I was off the Prozac and the stimulant, and the new psychiatrist put me on Depakote, which didn't like that very much. So, I mean, I've been on a medication regimen now, the same medications probably for 3 or 4 years at least. You know, there's always a little tweaking here, a little tweaking there. And the Prozac and the stimulant I've been able to bring that back in once I got stable.
So really what you're saying is that you're your best advocate.
Yeah.
The doctor didn't work, you went to another doctor.
Absolutely.
You wanted to feel right. You wanted to feel stable. You believed that if you could get the proper combination of medication, you could keep yourself uplifted and happy without going into
right.
a manic state.
And you have to be able to talk to your doctor about the medications. I mean, I'm not comfortable just taking a prescription from a doctor, not knowing really what it is. I mean, unless they've explained it to me, but I like being able to bring stuff to them as well and be able to talk about my management together.
So maybe it's a very helpful hint to people that if they're suffering with any kind of a psychiatric disorder and they don't have a psychiatrist who they can have a straight up conversation with, somebody who's going to discuss it with them, listen to you about what the side effects are, that what really began to help you was creating a relationship that allowed the give and take. And in the middle of all of this, I know you've had other children and you've nursed babies, so you've had to really be able to have a good relationship with the psychiatric community. How hard is that to find?
It's pretty hard.
You just have to work at it. You have to be your best advocate.
You do.
So for today, every day, you do something to keep yourself clear thinking, happy but not manic, stable. Every day you have to do something to take care of yourself.
It is challenging. It is very challenging.
What do? You make sure you get enough exercise, enough sleep. You make sure you take your medication. Don't self-medicate.
Right.
You stay away from drugs and alcohol.
Right.
All those things.
Exercising is a wonderful thing. Can't say I do it every day. Okay. I'm working on it. And sleep, absolutely. That's just...
curative.
Oh, yes.
Okay. So if you start to feel yourself getting pulled in one direction or another, you make sure that you take care of you.
Oh, yeah, I do. I mean, because if I'm not taking care of me, how am I going to take care of my children?
And that's an interesting question, too, which is, you know, for our listeners, I think it's important for you to know that bipolar disorder absolutely is in families. It's a genetically disposed problem. So if these are symptoms that you have, this isn't because you had a bad childhood or your neighbor was mean to you when you're five.
It makes it worse.
Although it does. It exacerbates it. And also, given that bipolar disorder is in families, there's a chance that if you have bipolar disorder, you might have gotten raised by somebody with bipolar disorder who was out of control and didn't know how to be treated or to take care of themselves. So for you, Leah, you clearly see that in your family, don't you?
Oh, yes. Yes. Definitely.
Both in the generations before you and the generations after you.
Right.
Okay. So what's important here, and I want to make these points, is for people who suffer with a chronic mental illness, it is so easy to let other people make you feel as if there's something wrong with you, there's something broken inside of you, and there's not. We all suffer with something. Depression is certainly ubiquitous to humanity, along with we all know somebody with a mental health disorder, and yet it's so easy it's so easy for us as individuals to allow ourselves to feel as if we're broken, if we have a problem. Problems can be fixed, and there are some mental illnesses that are really just almost not treatable, but bipolar disorder is treatable for almost everybody who has this problem. You need psychiatric help. You need to stay on your medications. You need to have a relationship with your doctor that's mutual, and that every day you need to pay attention to how best to take care of yourself. It's a tall order, I understand that, but you have to start from that place of believing that there is help for you. I think that's what you just said, Leah, that when you finally woke up one morning and said, I want a life, and I don't want it to look like this, you pulled yourself into a place where you made a life for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And is there a group that you talk to? Is there online support?
There's lots of online support. I don't necessarily, at times I do go to those sites and add comments or and read things. Very helpful, because everybody experiences different things and they have different ideas, and it's been helpful.
I am going to, for everybody, put the information about support systems for people with bipolar disorder on my site. You can certainly go to that and get some information. I also want you to hear that if you have specific questions, please email them to me. I am happy to supply some answers for you. I am happy to point you in the right direction so that you can get some help. If you're a parent who is who has a child who you can see is beginning to show these symptoms, let me know, and I am let me know through my website, through my email, and I'm happy to send you some information so that you can get some help. The message for today is that you can live, you can thrive, you can have a good life, even if you are suffering from bipolar disorder or from many other mental disorders. Leah, that's very brave of you to come today. I cannot tell you how much I thank you for being here, and I hope you'll come back again, maybe when we can open the lines and you can answer some questions.
Oh, sure. One thing, though, instead of suffering, I would say managing.
Managing. I got it. And that's the truth. So thank you very much. I hope you all enjoy your holiday. Thank you for listening to Mental Health Matters, and I hope you'll tune in again next week, 1 o'clock on Monday, for another edition of Mental Health Matters.
Be happy. In every life we have some trouble, but when you worry you make it double. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy now. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Ooh.